I get the opportunity to share after that amazing testimony. I don't really know the Leos personally, but I've heard about them for years, and I'm just blessed to hear your story and your family's story. My name is Matt Reed. I'm the Director of Family Ministries here at Grace Community Church, and today we're in week two of this series in the book of Hebrews called Jesus is Better. And if you've been following Jesus for any amount of time, any length of time, you've probably experienced that. You've seen his faithfulness. You've seen him answer your prayers. You've seen him change your life. But you've probably also had moments where you've wondered, if Jesus is really better, why doesn't it always feel like it? Why does it sometimes feel like I am just surviving? Why does it sometimes feel like following Jesus is harder than I expected? Because if we're honest, a lot of us, we don't feel better. We feel tired. We feel stuck. And that raises a real question that we're going to ask today. If Jesus is better, why doesn't life look like it yet? Sometimes it feels like something is missing, right? My superpower is losing things. I lose my phone, I lose my wallet, I lose my keys, and I will be searching all over the house, tearing it apart, lifting up cushions, looking in the same place over and over again. And to be honest, I get very frustrated. My wife's superpower, on the other hand, is finding things. I'll be looking for hours, and she'll come in, and she'll be like, it's right there. Or worse, she'll be like, Matt, it's in your hand. And when this stuff happens, like, I actually had something like this happen the other day. I was looking, I had pulled out a can of tuna to make for lunch, and I was looking for it because I took it out and I couldn't find it, and I'm looking all over the place. I finally gave up. I went to the cabinet. I grabbed another can of tuna. I made it. And then later in the day, I found it in my pocket. Seriously. Every time something like that happens, I think to myself, how did I miss that? How did I miss a can of tuna in my pocket all day? It wasn't missing, I just wasn't seeing clearly. And I think a lot of us, we feel that tension in life. We look around at our lives and our world and we feel that something is off. Maybe you felt it in following Jesus. You're trying to do the right thing, but life still feels heavy, still uncertain, still not right. It feels like something is missing. And I think that some things in life just aren't hard to see. They actually are missing. And that's exactly where Hebrews chapter 2, the chapter that we're in today, steps in. And we don't know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews, and we don't even know exactly who it was written to. But what we can see from this letter is that it was likely written to Jewish followers who were under pressure, under immense pressure. They had pressure from their culture. They had pressure from their past. They had pressure from their present reality. Some of them, they were being rejected by friends and family. Some of them were losing property. They were losing their ability to do business in the world. Some of them were suffering in jail for their faith. And all of that created this real pull. Not necessarily full rejection of God, not necessarily full rejection of Jesus, but a slow drift away from him. And whether it's a strong current like the Hebrews were facing, or whether it's the slow drift caused by the distractions of life, the truth is, drifting rarely feels like a decision. It just happens. And Hebrews doesn't treat that lightly. It warns us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says this: how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation. And notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say reject. It says neglect. Because the danger for Christians, followers of Jesus, is rarely a loud rejection of Jesus. It's the slow neglect of Jesus. It's a slow fading of our attention. It's the slow drifting of our affection, simply because we are too busy to notice. And the writer of Hebrews is basically saying, don't underestimate how dangerous that is. Because if Jesus is the only one who restores what is lost, it means drifting from him is drifting from the very thing that your soul actually needs. It means drifting from the only one who can actually save you. Last week, we were in Hebrews chapter 1, and Pastor Fred walked through the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 1. And what we saw is that Jesus, it says that Jesus is better than everything. Here's what verse 3 of chapter 1 says. It says of Jesus, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You see, Jesus is the Son of God. He's exalted. He is powerful. He is above all. He's above everything. And then Hebrews 2 starts with this warning, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. Because drifting is so easy. You don't need to make a big decision. You don't have to walk away all at once. You just have to stop paying attention. You get preoccupied and you slowly stop feeding your faith. And before you know it, you've drifted. Because you don't drift in one moment. You drift in 1,000 small ones. It's kind of like when I go on Facebook to send a message, and I'm like, I have a purpose, I have someone I need to contact, I need to say something to them, and then all of a sudden, I'm scrolling through my feed, and I have no idea why I'm on Facebook in the first place. That's how drifting works. It's not usually a big decision. It's a slow distraction. So why is it so easy to drift? Because we forget. We forget what we're carrying. We lose sight of what we were made for. And that's where Hebrews takes us. Today's message is called The Crown. And in Hebrews chapter 2, it quotes this passage in the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 8. So here's what it says. Verse 6 is where we are. What is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you care for him? You made him lower than the angels for a short time, and you crowned him with glory and honor and subjected everything under his feet. That's what we were made for. We were given a purpose. We were made to reflect God and to rule under him. If you look back at the book of Genesis, that's what it was about. That's what God's original design was, that you and I were made to be image bearers and to rule over creation under him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 says this, for in subjecting everything to him, he left nothing that is not subjected to him. And then it says this, as it is, we do not yet see everything subjected to him. That's the gap we live in. We do not yet see. We don't see the world the way it should be. We don't see humanity living as we should. Something is off. Something is broken. Something has been lost. You see, we were made for a purpose, but we walk around and we feel purposeless. We were made for joy, but we feel anxiety. We were made for relationships, but relationships break. We were made to reflect God, But to be honest, sometimes we just don't look like him. We were meant to rule, but now we walk around and we feel like there is something ruling over us. And sometimes we don't even realize how deep that goes, because here's what we do. We adapt. We normalize it. We call anxiety normal. We call broken relationships normal. We call emptiness normal. And in our present reality, in our present world, it is normal. But every once in a while it breaks through. A quiet moment at night, a conversation that hits deeper than we expected, a season where everything feels heavier than it should. And something in us whispers, this isn't right. This isn't what we were made for. Then Hebrews says something that's kind of surprising. We're in verse 9, and here's what it says. It says, but we do see Jesus. Not answers, Jesus. Not clarity, Jesus. Not the end of pain and suffering, we see Jesus, and that changes everything. And notice what Hebrews is doing here. It doesn't start with an explanation. It starts by pointing us to Jesus, because Christianity isn't about having everything figured out. It's about knowing the one who holds everything together. We don't see yet. We don't see everything fixed. We don't see the world restored. We don't see that crown of glory that he gave us in the beginning fully returned. But we do see Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 continues. It says, but we do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. You see, Jesus stepped in to what is broken so that he could restore what we lost. If we go down to verse 14, here's what it says. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these. And that word shared, it matters. Not observed over it, not stood over it, not stayed at a distance from it. He shared in it. He entered into it. And Hebrews is making a very specific point here. Jesus didn't just rescue us from a distance. He didn't just move things around and make things work out. He shared in everything that it means to be human. Real limits. Real exhaustion. Real hunger. Pain. Temptation. Real death. And that may sound obvious to those of us who have followed Jesus for a while. But the early church, this was actually a really hard thing for them to accept. Because in their minds, the idea that God would become human felt unthinkable. Because to them, God was too high, he was too holy, he was too separate. And they just couldn't make that connection. They struggled to make that connection. They struggled to believe, many of them, that he was truly human. Some of them even said that he only appeared to be human. And I think we do something like this today. We do something similar because we downplay his experience. We hear things like, Jesus was tempted, and we think, but yeah, he's God. Of course it was easier for him. We act like it wasn't real pressure. We act like he didn't really feel anything. But the book of Hebrews pushes back against that. It says that Jesus didn't just visit humanity, he entered it fully, completely, without escape. Because here's the truth. When most of us are tempted, eventually something gives, right? The pressure builds, and either God rescues us and it takes that temptation away, or we break, right? We give in to temptation. And when we do, though we feel the guilt, that temptation releases, that pressure escapes. But Jesus lived just like us, experienced everything that we had, and he never gave in, which means he didn't escape the pressure. He carried it all the way through, fully felt it, fully endured it to its maximum pressure, fully human. And here's exactly why Hebrews says, verse 17, therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, the high priest was the person who would step into God's presence on behalf of the people. The one who would stand between the people, between us and God. The one who would represent us before God. The one who would bring us back into a relationship with God by bringing a sacrifice. But Hebrews is saying, Jesus is the true and the better high priest. He didn't just come to show us a way back to God. He didn't just come to bring us a temporary sacrifice to bring us back to God. He made a way for us to truly come back to God. If we go back up to verse 14, here's what it says, the second half of the verse. So that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil. The truth is, sin doesn't just make us guilty. When we sin, we feel guilty, but it doesn't just make us guilty. It makes us captive. And that's what Jesus came for. He came to break its power. He came to stand in the gap between God and man, not just as someone who brings the sacrifice, but as someone who is the sacrifice. And that is why he had to be truly human. Not partially, not symbolically, fully. Fully human so that he could represent us, and fully God because only God could save us. And Jesus didn't come to just save us someday. He didn't just come to give us salvation. He helps us today. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says this. For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. So when we see in Hebrews and it says, we see Jesus, it doesn't just mean a distant helper. It means a savior who stood exactly where you and exactly where I stand. He doesn't help us from above our temptation. He helps us from inside our temptation. He doesn't just understand, which is extremely comforting. He doesn't just understand what you feel. He meets you right there. Fully human, fully savior, fully able to help. And that help has this very specific purpose, because Jesus didn't just come to get us through temptation. He came to restore what is lost. Earlier in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, here's what it says. It says, so that by God's grace, he might taste death for everyone, crowned with honor and glory because he suffered death. And then it says this, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory. That's the goal. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bring many sons and daughters to glory. And if you don't believe in Jesus today, that's what he came for. to bring you back to glory. Not just forgiven. Not just improved. Not just morally better. He came to restore, to reclaim, and to bring you back to what you were made for. The crown restored. The life as it was intended from the very beginning. So Hebrews tells us to look to Jesus. And a while ago, I was playing catch with my son. And he kept throwing the ball way off to the side. And I got really tired of chasing it in the bushes and climbing under things to get it. So I grabbed the ball. I came back and I said, Jace, I need you to look at the glove. When you look at my glove, when you are throwing the ball, I'm going to put my fingers in front of the glove. And I want you to tell me how many fingers I'm holding up. So he did. He took the ball. I flashed two fingers, threw it, and it came to me. Things started lining up. He wasn't throwing way off, and it wasn't perfect every time, but he wasn't throwing way off into the bushes. The ball was coming to me because you don't go where you want to. You go where you're looking. So when life starts to pull you, when it starts to pull you in different directions, look to Jesus. When you're hurting, look to Jesus. When you are tempted, when you are tired, when you are distracted, look to Jesus. And that may sound like a super simple answer, but it's the only answer that is strong enough to hold you. Hebrews doesn't call us to try harder. It doesn't call us to just push through. It calls us to look to Jesus. Because you don't stay close to Jesus by accident. It's intentional. Because you go where you're looking. And that's the hope of Hebrews chapter 2. The crown of glory was given to us. And through our sin, we lost the crown. But because of Jesus, the crown is being restored. Because Jesus stepped into our humanity, defeated sin, defeated death. And because of that, the story doesn't end with what was lost. It ends with Jesus restoring what God intended from the very beginning. Let's pray. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive me for when I've taken my eyes off you, for when I've drifted. Thank you for stepping into humanity, into our lives. Thank you for stepping in and restoring what we broke and for sharing in our humanity. Thank you that you can empathize with us because you have experienced what we have experienced. Thank you for carrying the weight that we couldn't carry. Thank you. Thank you that you didn't stay distant, but you came close. And today, we remember you. Amen.